It is good to welcome you once again to the Warren County Radio Bible School. And so go get your Bibles, and you'll want to be turning it to Acts chapter 2. We're studying a Sunday school lesson about the power of the early church. And it's in the midst of a number of Sunday school lessons about the missionary message of the Bible. And that is the fact that the Word of God is to be preached into all the world. All men are to obey the same gospel, the same way, and added to the same church. And so the power of the early church is what we're going to be discussing. This is a Sunday school lesson written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of December the 2nd, 1923. The lesson text is Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, and Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 42. So you'll want to get your Bibles and be turning to Acts chapter 2 at this time. The devotional lesson came from Joel 2, 28 through 32, which is quoted in this chapter as being fulfilled, or beginning to be fulfilled, right there before their eyes as they heard Peter speak. And the text, the golden text for the lesson, is Acts chapter 2, 21, where it says, "It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." We want to get to this lesson in just a moment. While you're turning in your Bible to Acts chapter 2, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, as we begin this Sunday school lesson, it begins with a geographical note, and the note is about Jerusalem. It says, "Jerusalem, from the time God selected it as the place for His temple and name until the ascension of Jesus, was the most important city on earth, and we have learned something about it." You know, we read back in 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 6, where God said, "I have chosen Jerusalem that my name might be there." After the ascension of Jesus, the apostles returned to Jerusalem to await the promise of the Holy Spirit. They occupied the upper room, in which they doubtless ate the Passover, and which they used for a meeting place. They were present, all of the apostles, except Judas, who was then dead, the faithful women among them, Mary, the mother of Jesus, his brethren and other disciples, about 120 in all. These all with one accord continued steadfastly in prayer, a proper preparation for the reception of the Holy Spirit. During this time, Peter, who had been designated by Jesus as the leader, and who was quick to speak into Acts, stood up in the midst and showed how Judas had fulfilled the prophecy of Psalm chapter 69, verse 25, and Psalm chapter 109, and suggested that another apostle be chosen. And this was done. And now it was the day of Pentecost. Pentecost means 50. This feast was the second of the three great Jewish feasts. Leviticus chapter 23 gives these feasts and the time of their observance. "And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheath of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even to the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meal offering unto the Lord." Leviticus chapter 23, verses 15 and 16. Pentecost Then came on the first day of the week. Jesus was crucified on Friday, laid in the tomb on the Passover Sabbath, and arose on the first day of the week. 7 weeks complete would be 49 days, and the day after the Sabbath would be the 50th, and the first day of the week. So the Spirit descended on the first day of the week. Now this feast is called the Feast of Weeks in Deuteronomy 16:10 through 16, and the Feast of Harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, in Exodus chapter 23 and verse 16. Let me read that to you from Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 9 through 12. 7 weeks shalt thou number unto thee. From the time thou beginnest to put the sickle into the standing grain shalt thou begin to number 7 weeks, and thou shalt keep the Feast of Weeks unto Jehovah thy God with the tribute of a free will offering of thy hand, which thou shalt give according as Jehovah thy God blesseth thee. And thou shalt rejoice before Jehovah thy God, thou, and thy son, and thy daughter, and thy manservant, and thy maidservant, and the Levite that is within thy gates, and the sojourner, and the fatherless, and the widow that are with thee in the midst of thee, in the place which Jehovah thy God shall choose to call his name to dwell there. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and thou shalt observe and do all these statutes. You see, at this feast, the people were especially hospitable and joyous, remembering their deliverance from Egyptian bondage, and were especially admonished to observe the commandment of God. According to Jewish tradition, this feast was not only a day of thanksgiving for the first fruits of their harvest, but it also commemorated the giving of the law from Mount Sinai. Jesus, our Passover, was slain on the day of the Passover lamb was killed, and 50 days after that, on the day the old covenant was given, the new covenant, a law, went forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, Isaiah chapter 2 and Micah chapter 4. On this day was fully inaugurated the new spiritual dispensation under which we now live. This day is called by some the birthday of the church, but by the Bible it is called the beginning. It is called that in Acts chapter 11 and verse 15. And as I begin to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them as on us. Here it is, at the beginning. Not the beginning of God's purpose and plan to save men. Not the beginning of his prophecies and promises to do so. Not the beginning of the preparatory work of John the Baptist, but the beginning of the fully inaugurated kingdom, which is the consummation of all of these. All here must mean the apostles. There were no divisions of chapters and verses when Luke wrote this. Omitting these, it reads, "And they gave lots for them, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. And when the day of Pentecost was now fully come, they were all together in one place. Some think the 120 were all baptized in the Holy Spirit. But verse 14 indicates that only the apostles were. It is not certain where they were gathered together. Some suggest that they were gathered together in the upper room or in some room of the temple. It seems logical that they were gathered together somewhere in the courts of the temple, because so many came together to hear them preach after they were baptized, and they saw the tongues of fire sitting upon them and heard them speak. Luke chapter 24 and verse 53 says, they were continually in the temple, blessing God. And so Acts 2 verses 1 and 2 says, and when the day of Pentecost was now come, They were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound as of a rushing of a mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Suddenly means that this came in an unexpected way. They were waiting for the Comforter and Guide, but knew not when or how he would come. There was no wind. The sound was as of a rushing mighty wind, and the sound of it filled all the house where they were sitting. This sound, no doubt, was to attract attention. Then we read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 3, "There appeared unto them tongues parting asunder like as a fire, and it set on each of them." These tongues were not fire, but like as a fire. They were luminous, or fiery, in appearance, but had no consuming properties of fire. This was not a fulfillment of the declaration made by Jesus by John that Jesus would baptize with fire, Matthew 3:11-12, for he explains that the chaff, which is the wicked, will be burned with unquenchable fire. This is a baptism of fire. Every tongue was not forked, but these tongues parted or separated and distributed themselves among the apostles, and it set upon each of them, one tongue among one upon one apostle. These tongues indicate how the Spirit would do His work. You see, it was proper that it would appear as tongues, because they would speak, and speak through the apostles, and speak a language which all who spoke that language could understand. Speaking with other tongues means speaking with other languages than their own, but in intelligent languages. Jesus promised that the Spirit should speak. "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak from Himself, but what things soever He shall hear, these shall He speak, and He shall declare unto you things that are to come. He will glorify Me, for He shall take of Mine, and shall declare it unto you." John chapter 16, verses 13 through 14. To understand that the Spirit talks to us now through the apostles and other inspired writers of the Bible will help us much to understand how the Spirit does His work. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 2, where it says, "The Spirit of Jehovah spake by me, and His word was upon my tongue." The Spirit spake, and the Spirit spake words. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21, we read that no prophecy ever came by the will of men, but men spake from God, being moved by the Holy Spirit. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, we read that the Spirit saith expressly that in the latter time some shall fall away from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. How did the Holy Spirit communicate this to man? Well, He said that to man. We read in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 11, "Wherefore, even as the Holy Spirit saith, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, like as in the day of the trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by proving me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was displeased with this generation, and said, they do always err in heart, but they did not know my ways. As I swear in my wrath, so shall they not enter into my rest." Here the Hebrew writer is quoting from Psalm 95, verses 7 through 11. And in quoting that, it says, "The Holy Spirit saith." And so the Holy Spirit gave us those words. And we read in the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and verse 7, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches." Now this is repeated for all of the seven churches of Asia. And so how did God communicate to those seven churches? He spoke to them.